Peanut Butter Tater Tot by Pinot Noir. The day starts like any normal Saturday. A bit of a lie-in now that Scorpius is older, and a quick breakfast of porridge and fresh fruit. Draco scans the Prophet's headlines and promptly levitates it to the bin. Scorpius snorts, but doesn't retrieve it. Then they venture out to Diagon, so Draco can do some shopping, and Scorpius can socialize. Things are going well. Scorpius is between his first and second years at Hogwarts, and while they're out, they buy the majority of his school supplies he needs for September. Scorpius meets his friends for ice cream as Draco looks around Flourish and Blotts. He finds and purchases the latest romance spy novel Pansy had written. Draco does his obligatory grumbling about having to buy his best friend's novel, at a shop no less, while Pansy's portrait laughs at him from the back cover. Draco buys the book anyway. They finish up their afternoon by grabbing a quick lunch at a charming little cafe and taking a long walk through a nearby park. They're home by early evening, the sun still bright in the sky, and that, of course, is when Scorpius finds their stowaway.
"Dad," he says, "there's a Niffler in my bag."
His face is set in its most serious expression, his blonde brows furrowed, his bright blue eyes, so much like Astoria's, serious.
"We need to feed it, get it some water, and make sure it's—"
Draco groans. "It's not a pet, Scorp." He knew using Scorpius's nickname meant he was fighting a losing battle. Astoria had always called Scorpius Scorp, and they both knew when Draco uses it, it means he's feeling soppy and willing to give Scorpius his way. Draco walks away from the flue to put his things away. When he turns back to Scorpius and the Niffler, he lets out a sigh. The animal in question is curled up in Scorpius's arms, making a weird, rumbly noise. It's louder and rougher than a house cat's purr, but that's the closest thing Draco can compare it to. Scorpius is murmuring to it and scratching it around the ears.
"What do Nifflers even eat?" Draco asks.
"I don't know," Scorpius says with a shrug. "We can ask Gran."
"We are not asking Gran."
Draco rolls his eyes and walks into the kitchen to pour himself a glass of wine. If his mother comes over, they will definitely end up keeping the Niffler. And nothing in Draco's life has prepared him for keeping a wild animal.
"No,"
Draco says, as sternly as he can, while Scorpius makes that face. Draco takes a large drink of his wine.
"Absolutely not."
"It's so cute," Scorpius squeaks.
"It's a pest."
Scorpius pouts, but Draco stands firm. Nifflers are not pets. They're wild animals that—
"It's got a collar,"
Scorpius says, interrupting Draco's thoughts and shoving the animal into Draco's face. And there, on a plain silver disc, are the words, "Peanut Butter Tater Tot Potter." Then, in slightly smaller font, "Please return to Harry Potter, not Ginny Weasley."
"Of course it would be Potter,"
Draco groans. He takes another drink of his wine, almost finishing it, and steels himself for the inevitable.
"We've got to Owl Potter."
Draco's voice is resigned.
"We still need to feed Peanut Butter Tater Tot."
Draco looks at the hopeful look on Scorpius's face and sighs.
"You can flew Mother to ask what he might have for a snack, but I'm writing to Potter to let him know we've found."
Draco feels his nostrils flare. Only Potter would have a Niffler for a pet.
"It."
He gestures to the little ball of fuzz that has settled back into Scorpius's arms after being inspected by Draco. It lets out a grunt, and Scorpius laughs. Draco hasn't seen him this happy since Astoria passed. He rolls his eyes that it would be Potter and his wild animal that caused such happiness. He no longer harbors negative feelings for Potter, but it figures that if anyone is going to disrupt their quiet life, it would be Harry Potter.
"Maybe we can look into getting you an owl,"
Draco suggests as he walks to his writing desk.
"If you want a pet."
Scorpius isn't listening because his head is already firmly stuck in the flue, talking to his gran about the Niffler. Draco sets his glass down, scribbles out,
"Potter, your creature has found itself in my home. Kindly come get it as soon as you're able."
And ties the missive to his owl, Penelope. He grabs a treat for her, muttering,
"Good lass,"
as she flies out the window to Potter and his family. Then he finishes his wine. After sending the letter, Draco's predictions about his mother are proven correct. She is in their flat, talking excitedly with Scorpius about the Niffler.
They're quite hardy creatures, she says, reaching out to stroke its head. She and Scorpius have moved to the sofa, and are both looking rather besottedly at the animal. They're herbivores, so they eat a variety of fruits and vegetables. The Niffler stirs, and its black eyes open and scan the room.
Please put anything you value away, Scorpius, Draco says, gathering up all his nice writing quills and fountain pens at his desk. Mother, if you could hold it for a bit while we try to save our belongings, I'd appreciate it.
Instead of taking that as the warning Draco meant, Scorpius lets out a little coo.
He just wants shiny things, he says. I like them too, he tells the animal as he gives it to his gran.
He gets off the sofa and gathers up all the family photographs that line the mantel and takes them to his room. Draco has cleaned off his writing desk and scans the room for anything else that might catch the Niffler's eye. Draco has some knick-knacks on the built-in shelving, mostly little bits and bobs that have caught his attention over the years. He grabs the inactive Snitch, the miniature bronze statues he accumulated on his honeymoon with Astoria in Italy, the drawings that Scorpius has done over the years that Draco had framed. And then, just to be overly cautious, the building block set Draco purchased in Muggle London. Ledos, he thinks they're called. It had taken several hours to build the small Eiffel Tower, and while it's a matte gray, he and Scorpius bought it during Scorpius's first trip to the continent, and he didn't want it destroyed. Draco walks to his room, puts all of their memories on his bed, and locks the door on his way out. He hesitates and casts an extra-strength charm that, according to his mother, should stand up to a small dragon. Then he quickly walks back to the sitting room. His mother and the Niffler haven't moved, but she has peeled an orange and is feeding the Niffler slices and smiling.
You really should think about getting Scorpius a pet, she says gently.
I told him we could go look at owls, Draco responds a little stiffly.
Draco, she replies, a pet isn't something that's useful.
Penelope interrupts whatever his mother was about to say with an answer from Potter. The note is in Potter's distinctive scrawl.
Draco, thank you for letting me know about PB. Would it be easier for me and the kids to come to yours or for you to travel to mine? PB doesn't do well with the flu, so you'd need to either apparate or travel by broom. For some reason, PB loves flying. Harry.
Draco rolls his eyes.
We need to go to Potter's, he tells his mother. And the creature can't flew, so we'll either need to apparate or fly.
Where do they live? His mother asks.
I don't really feel up to a long flight.
Draco lets out a sigh.
He didn't mention.
Turning back to his writing desk, Draco scribbles out,
We'll travel to yours. Where are you located?
And sends Penelope back to Potter. Scorpius comes running back into the room with a smile on his face.
Can I hold him again, Gran? He asks.
She nods and gently hands the black and orange bundle back to Scorpius.
I think he's getting sleepy, she says. He finished his orange and he's had a big day.
Scorpius beams.
I can be still, he promises.
And quiet? Nodding, Scorpius whispers.
And quiet.
As Draco waits for his owl to return, he watches Scorpius sing quietly to the Niffler. Draco's mother turns to him and gives him a pointed look. With a sigh, Draco nods to her, agreeing that, yes, Scorpius needs a pet. However, Draco refuses to get him a pest as a pet. Penelope flies back in with a scrap of paper, not even a proper piece of parchment, tied to her leg.
Potter's Cottage, Godric's Hollow, is all the note says.
Wonderful, Draco says with a sigh. We're going to Godric's Hollow, he tells Scorpius and his mother. Apparition it is.
Lily is the first to realize peanut butter is gone. She comes into Harry's study after their trip to Diagon Alley in tears. At 10, she's incredibly sensitive when it comes to their pet Niffler.
I'm sure we'll find him, Harry reassures her. He's probably at Fortescue's trying to steal all of the ice cream scoops.
Lily lets out a watery laugh.
I hope he didn't try to get into Gringotts.
Harry shakes his head gravely with a false frown.
Peanut Butter Tater Tot Potter is far too intelligent to try and sneak by the guards at Gringotts.
Lily smiles at that, making Harry smile back in return.
We'll find him, he says gently. He's got his tag on.
Dad!
Jamie shouts from the front room.
There's an owl here.
Harry smiles back at Lily.
Maybe it's news of PB, he says. With a smile so big it shows off the tooth she's missing, Lily runs out to her brother, shouting,
Who's the owl from?
I don't know, do I?
James shouts back.
Let's not shout in the house, Harry shouts, then sighs. Fuck, he whispers. That was less than ideal.
Why were you shouting at us not to shout? Al asks when Harry reaches the front room. Harry drops his face in his hand.
Cut me some slack, yeah? He asks. It's hard being a single parent.
Jamie looks at him, unimpressed.
You and Mum split up ages ago.
Yeah, yeah, Harry says back.
No sass.
He looks at the eagle owl, its huge head scanning the room.
Who are you here for, love? He asks it.
The owl hops towards Harry and delicately extends the leg with a piece of parchment tied to it. Opening the letter, Harry lets out a sigh of relief.
Draco Malfoy and his son found peanut butter, he tells his children.
He's missing? Al asks in horror.
Told you we should have left him at home,
Jamie says smugly, making Lily frown.
That's neither here nor there, Harry says,
trying to break up the fight his oldest and youngest have already had once that day.
Let me ask Draco how he wants to get together so we can get peanut butter back.
Harry scribbles some instructions on the back of Draco's parchment and sends the owl back.
Nothing to do but wait, he tells his children.
And eat,
declares Jamie.
Yes, yes, Harry agrees.
Lily starts talking about wanting bolognese, while Al makes faces at her. Jamie wants bacon sarnies because that's all he currently wants, and Harry just wants something that's somewhat healthy to eat and not hard to make.
I don't know about pasta, Liz, Harry says, making her frown.
Al sticks out his tongue at her.
Oi, Harry says, be civil.
No one wants bolognese in the heat, Al points out.
Harry grimaces. That was his main objection as well. That and the fact that his kids only want Molly's seven-step sauce that takes close to 2 hours to make. It's simple, but incredibly time-consuming.
I'm not making bacon sandwiches either, he tells her as a consolation.
What about...
He's interrupted by the Malfoy's eagle owl. Scanning the note, he grabs his biro and writes down their address, and the owl flies off. He's assuming they'll be apparating, because if rumors are true, Draco and his son live right outside Wizarding London, which is a brisk 45-minute ride by broom.
We could wait until Scorp and his dad get here, Al says sensibly. See if they want to eat with us.
Somehow, after being sorted into Slytherin, Al and Scorpius had struck up a friendship. Harry isn't sure how close they were at Hogwarts, but the reason they went to Diagon Alley was so Albus could meet up with Scorpius and several of their other friends.
PB must have snuck out while you were meeting with Scorpius, Harry says, putting together a loose timeline.
I didn't even know we had him, Al says, offended.
You know how he likes to hide in pockets, Jamie offers.
And you smell weird, Lily starts.
Do not!
Children!
Harry shouts, then stops as he hears two distinct cracks outside their cottage that could only be Draco.
Scorpius can't apparate, can he? Harry asks.
Merlin, Dad! Al says. He's my age, and Mr. Malfoy's more uptight than you are.
Harry's tirade, about safety and not breaking the law, is stopped by three concise knocks on their front door before he can get out more than, Albus. All three of his children run to the door, scrambling to get there first.
Pretend you weren't raised by barbarians, Harry says with a sigh.
Scorp, Al shouts. Quiet, Lily hisses at him. Don't disturb peanut butter.
Harry makes his way to the door and moves all of his children out of the way.
Draco, he says, nodding. Then, Mrs. Malfoy, I didn't expect to see you as well. Apologies for my children.
Jamie's snort is clearly heard by all of the guests on the front steps. Draco scowls, Mrs. Malfoy's eyes twinkle, and Scorpius laughs.
May we come in, Potter, or are we?
Don't be rude, Draco, Mrs. Malfoy admonishes him.
No, Harry says. You're right.
He gestures at his children to move out of the way.
Please come in.
There is minimal jostling around as Harry's kids move so the three Malfoys can come inside. Draco and Scorpius take off their shoes, leaving them with the pile of trainers at the door, while Mrs. Malfoy casts a protection spell around her shoes.
I'm too old to walk around in my socks, she says with a soft smile.
Draco gives his mom a fond look, then his ears turn pink when Harry notices.
Here's your Niffler,
Scorpius says to Albus.
It's lilies, Al says. I wanted a crop.
Crops are cool, Scorpius says with a squeak. Here, he says to Lily, gently handing over peanut butter.
The boys run off to Al's room, chatting about what they would name a crop if they owned one. Mrs. Malfoy smiles at Lily and asks her about the origin of peanut butter's name. Jamie is nowhere to be seen, having presumably escaped to his room. And Harry is left with Draco.
Potter, Draco says with a nod.
Harry.
I'm not Harry.
Harry sighs.
Call me Harry, Draco. We're too old, and our kids are friends. None of that old Hogwarts bullshit.
Draco narrows his eyes, and the crinkle around them is adorable.
And bollocks, has Harry just thought Draco Malfoy was adorable? He'd thought him fit for ages, but adorable?
Is there something on my face, Harry? Draco asks.
He grimaces in disgust.
I don't like calling you Harry. Feels wrong.
Harry lets out a laugh.
It took me a bit to get used to calling you Draco, he admits.
When did that start?
When Al came home for Christmas hauls, talking about his new friend Scorpius Malfoy?
He waves Draco into the kitchen.
Drink?
He asks. Draco shakes his head. Harry grabs a glass and fills it with water, taking a long drink.
Reckon I should get used to calling you Draco, so things wouldn't be weird for the boys if we ever got together.
Ah,
Draco says. His ears turn pink again.
Have I made it weird?
No, Draco, he says. You haven't made anything weird.
Harry can hear the fondness in his voice, but he's helpless to stop it.
Potter, Harry's house, is nothing like Draco expects.
For one thing, it's clean and organized. Draco really hasn't ever spent time wondering about the state of Harry's kitchen, but he's pleasantly surprised to see rows of neat shelves with bins of dry ingredients, pastas, and oils. From what Draco can see, there's a whole shelf dedicated to Muggle cookbooks, and the scrub-top farm table is gleaming, a big vase of flowers in the center. There are huge windows by the sink and oven. It's early evening, but the sun is still bright enough that golden rays stream through and illuminate the space. It's homey and welcoming, in a way Draco's never been able to capture for himself.
You have a lovely home, Draco says.
Harry lets out a bark of laughter.
You don't have to sound so surprised.
Draco feels his cheeks heat.
You just...
He gestures to the table.
I didn't expect to see flowers on your table.
Smiling, Harry walks to Draco, gently nudging him in the shoulder.
You're funny when you're flustered.
You're not what I expected.
Harry bumps his shoulder into Draco's again, then walks over to the doorway which leads out of the kitchen. I think the kids and your mum are all entertained. Come sit with me in the lounge. Tell me about what you expected.
Draco's stuck in place, feeling wrong-footed.
I didn't mean it like that, Harry says.
It's just been so long since we were bitter enemies.
Harry laughs, showing off the deep lines around his eyes and mouth.
Smile lines, Draco knows suddenly.
Harry Potter, the boy who lived, a child soldier, has smiled enough that he wears the proof of it on his face.
I would hardly call you a bitter enemy, Draco says, finally moving. More like an annoyance.
Oh, Harry coos. An annoyance.
He winks at Draco.
Yes, Draco says. Exactly that.
He makes sure he's as crisp and posh-sounding as possible. If Harry's going to tease, Draco will do his best to counter it. When Harry falters in his step, there's a fluttering in Draco's chest.
Show me to your lounge, Harry.
Harry rolls his eyes, and Draco can't quite keep back a smile.
You know,
Harry says as they walk into his lounge, a cozy room with big squashy sofas and the general mess that comes from having children.
You're exactly what I expected.
Draco makes his way to the largest sofa and settles in, tucking his legs under him.
Tell me about what you expected,
Draco says, as Harry makes himself comfortable at the other end of the sofa.
You're setting me up, Harry says.
Not on purpose.
Draco looks at Harry and smiles.
I'll go first.
Letting out a theatrical sniff, Draco continues.
You've decorated your home in a way that's not tacky.
He scans the room and lets the approval show on his face.
What were you expecting?
Harry asks with a little laugh. I hadn't given it much thought, but I always assumed your entire house would be covered in various shades of red and gold and feature lions. Throwing back his head, Harry laughs, and Draco feels a small sense of pride at the volume of the laughter. When he's recovered, he asks, Is your home covered in green and silver and snakes?
Of course.
That sets Harry off again, and this time Draco can't keep his own laughter in. Making Harry laugh isn't something Draco has ever really thought about, but now that he's seen it, he wants to keep it happening. Harry's eyes twinkle, and he laughs with his whole body. It makes Draco think about mornings spent drinking tea together in their dressing gowns, and sitting outside drinking wine, watching the stars, and all sorts of soppy domestic things. After they've both stopped, Harry says, You're good with your son and Mum.
Thank you.
Harry shakes his head. That's what I expected, he explains. I thought you'd be a good dad, and I knew you were a good son.
Oh.
Draco's taken aback by the soft tone and the earnestness in Harry's voice.
Al is really fond of Scorpius, and there's a lot of gossip from school. Al really seems to look up to you,
Harry snorts. He might have a bit of a crush on you, if I'm being honest. Draco feels his ears heat.
That's awkward.
He'll grow out of it when he learns what a prat you are. Harry lets out a short laugh, and Draco's cursed ears heat again. There's a beat of silence as Draco tries to stare out of the corner of his eye to see what Harry is doing. When he finds Harry staring at him with a dopey grin, he clears his throat.
I expected all of your children to be ginger.
Harry screws up his nose. Draco laughs.
Your face!
I have passed on some of my characteristics.
I know.
Draco holds up his hands in surrender. It's just that Ginevra and your mother both have red hair, so the probability of... How long have you been thinking about the color of my kid's hair?
I haven't, insists Draco. Scorpius mentioned that Albus looked like you, and it just...
Draco tries his best at a sneer.
It took me by surprise, is all.
That's not nearly as menacing as you think it is, Harry says, moving closer to Draco on the sofa. You seem to have lost some of your... He lets out a...
venom.
That was horrible, Draco says with a groan. I can't believe people find you attractive. Harry moves even closer to Draco, nudges his knee against Draco's. I can believe people find you attractive.
That was also horrible.
But Draco lets himself take the compliment and smiles. Draco Malfoy is incredibly attractive when he blushes, and Harry's working on keeping him as pink as possible. Their flirtatious back and forth has been fun. Harry knows Draco's intelligent, but he's also clever and quick with a sarcastic retort. Harry heard that Draco had turned his life around after the war. He dedicated his life to trying to make up for his behavior and the beliefs he'd held the first 17 years of his life. Since his split with Ginny, Harry had seen him around at ministry events looking, quite frankly, tall and gorgeous in his dress robes. And he hadn't been exaggerating when he said Al had a crush on him. Harry's son is besotted. Then, when Draco lost his wife a couple of years ago, he'd become more somber and quiet, which intrigued Harry more than he cared to admit. The Draco of Harry's memory had always been a little theatrical and overdramatic. Now, he has a sense of gravitas and maturity that he wears well. His face is still pointy and pale, but his gray eyes project so much care that Harry is drawn to him. He's glad he and Draco are finally in the same room, even if it had taken Peanut Butter's little adventure to make it happen.
IOPB a treat, Harry whispers to himself.
Draco looks over at Harry.
What?
He asks, still pink around the ears. Harry smiles at him.
Nothing, really.
Looking down his nose, Draco lets out a little snort.
It sounded like you were going to reward your creature for some reason.
He got you to my home, Harry says, and we're not fighting. Draco's blush starts up again. I would say that calls for a treat. Draco clears his throat and looks pointedly away from Harry.
Where is this leading, Harry?
He asks quietly.
Are we working on being friends? Are you looking for a quick fuck?
He wrings his hands in his lap. I'm too old for a fling. His blush deepens,
Not that I think that's what you're...
No!
Harry half shouts.
I want to take you out on a date.
Harry feels his own face heat at his outburst.
I mean, he stammers. I just...
Our kids get along. We get along. So because our sons are friends, you want to take me out to dinner?
I think you're fit.
Harry shouts that, entirely by accident. He turns, and Draco sat there with a smug look on his face.
Knew it, Draco says with relish.
Tosser, Harry says, and before he can think about what he's doing, he leans over, his lips not quite touching Draco's.
Stop me if this isn't okay.
Harry can only see Draco's eyes, but he watches as they crinkle in a smile.
Feel free to proceed, Draco says against Harry's mouth. Though I usually don't kiss on the first date, much less whatever we're calling this.
Harry shuts him up with a kiss, closed-mouthed and chaste. Their noses bump a bit, but Draco's lips are soft under Harry's, and Harry sighs into it. Draco tilts his head and deepens the kiss, licking at Harry's lips. Harry retaliates by nipping at Draco's lower lip. Draco opens his mouth and coaxes Harry in.
Ew!
Comes a voice from the door.
Dad!
Harry turns to see Lily, her face aghast.
What are you doing with Mr. Malfoy?
Draco, the wanker, hides behind Harry.
We would, just... Draco had something...
In his mouth!
Lily's shouting has apparently summoned everyone else in the house, because Harry hears the thunder of running feet, and Jamie, Al, and Scorpius appear in the doorway.
What were they doing?
Jamie asks with an evil grin.
Snogging on the sofa,
Lily says with glee. She's taking far too much joy at having caught Harry out. Al and Scorpius groan in tandem.
Are you going to be our new daddy?
Lily asks, her face the very picture of innocence.
Bugger off, Harry tells his children. If I want to kiss Draco, I'm going to kiss him.
You don't need an audience, Mr. Potter, Mrs. Malfoy says. She seems to have followed the kids into the lounge and is staring at Harry. Harry feels himself blush.
Sorry, Mrs. Malfoy.
Draco is still hiding behind Harry.
It's his fault,
he mumbles.
Git,
Harry says.
Arse,
Draco hisses.
You said a swear,
Scorpius shouts from the door.
You're all grounded forever,
Harry says. He can feel Draco laughing behind him.
Am I grounded?
Draco asks.
It will be difficult to take me out on a date, if so.
Yes, Harry declares. I'll go out on our date alone. Peanut Butter runs into the room, summoned by all the shouts and laughter. He's always liked to be in the room with as many people as possible, and jumps into Draco's lap.
I still think you're a pest, he says softly to the Niffler. But thanks.
Harry doesn't think that last part is supposed to be audible, but he hears it, so he leans in and kisses the tip of Draco's nose. The kids all make noises of disgust.
So gross,
Lily says.
Then leave us in peace, Harry insists.
No, this is more fun, says Scorpius.
This is all your fault, Draco says. You and this creature's.
But he lifts Peanut Butter up and nuzzles his face.
I refuse to call you that ridiculous name, he says. But you are rather soft and sweet.
Peanut Butter lets out a little squeak of excitement and rubs his face back against Draco's.
You're such a sap,
Harry says. PB squeaks at them both, and Draco laughs. Harry joins him as their kids look at them with expressions of horror and happiness.
Stay for dinner? Harry asks.
Draco nods.
That sounds lovely.
The tips of his ears turn pink.
Thanks.